Some of these can be a little controversial as far as what different people believe on these certain topics. When we get into eschatology or prophetic things coming up, there's a lot of discussion about that. Certain people are hardcore on certain things, and it's my way or the highway. And some people like to argue about these things. Some people become very belligerent when it comes to certain aspects of the rapture. Is it pre-tribulation? Is it mid-tribulation? Is it post-tribulation? And so people get into these discussions today. I won't argue with you.
Amen.
You want to argue with me after church? I'll just stand and smile. And you can go up one side of me and down the other, and I'll still love you.
Amen.
But I'm just not going to argue with you about it. There are some things, again, when it comes to future events, I guess you could be right. I could be right. I love what Rich's father always said. When we get to heaven, you'll see that he was right. that was a joke he always said. You get to heaven, you'll see that I was right. And that could be. But even Pastor Overton wasn't 100% accurate on everything. Because none of us are. None of us are. There's a lot, when you get into some of the prophecies, there's a lot of things that could go either way. And that's why there's a lot of different teachings on this today. And if you're like some of these crazy Christians today, you're on the internet and you're listening to all these different people and reading all kinds of stuff and listening to all these articles, and you could get flip-flopped around and reversed, and you could be off believing anything. And there's a lot of Christians getting into that today. They're just believing anything they hear. There's books, all kinds of books on the market today based upon these prophetic events coming up in the future. Your best bet is just to stay with the Bible.
Amen.
And just read the Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom.
Amen.
That's your best bet. You can't get any better than that.
Right.
And if you're part of this church and you are a member or you're a tender, and you hear what I have to say pertaining to these things, and if you agree with them, let's just agree to agree. And if you disagree, let's agree to disagree. Okay? Because again, there's a lot of things that we could get into and we could discuss. And it could be this way, it could be that way. One thing that I have decided, and I've kind of gotten this way over the years. Did you ever notice, if you've been saved a while, or in my situation, pastoring for a while, you get to the point where you're just not going to argue with people over things. I used to do that. I used to argue, and it was my way, and I thought I was right, and maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I'm just not going to do that anymore. Life is too short to just be argumentative about things. So I've got about 8 things written down here. I want to get through them as quickly as I can before the baptism. And so go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The very first thing that's on our prophetic agenda sometime beyond tonight is the rapture of the church. I know that rapture, the word, is not in the Bible. The term catching up, taking away, whatever, that is part of the scripture. And we get the word rapture. It's somewhat easier to say, I guess, than a catching away. If you don't like the word because it's not in the Bible, then don't ever use the word Bible, because Bible's not in the Bible either. Or Trinity. Can't use the word Trinity, because Trinity is not in the Bible anywhere either. A lot of words we use that are in the Bible, but we use them to refer to things that's in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, going down to verse 18, is probably the most popular passage of Scripture when it comes to the Lord's second coming. And when I refer to the Lord's second coming, it's really in two stages. Stage 1, or stage A, I call it, and that's the rapture. That's the next thing that we will go through ourselves as saved Christians.
Amen.
And then stage 2 is at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, Jesus Christ comes back again. First time he comes back in the air. And he takes all of the saved people out. He doesn't come back to the earth. And only the saved people will see him and hear him calling us up. The second stage, though, at the end of 7 years, is when he actually comes back to the earth and he sets up his kingdom. The Bible says every eye shall see him then, saved and lost. Everybody will see him. But that's stage two. And we're only going to touch on that a little bit tonight. I want to spend a little bit of time here on this first point because there is some discussion on that. Is it a pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture? Is it post-tribulation? And whatever it is that you feel that you believe, that's fine. I'm going to give you some thoughts on what I believe and why I believe it. We should always know why we believe what we believe.
Amen.
Don't say, well, I believe the pre-tribulation rapture because that's what Pastor Ben believes. Please don't ever say that.
That's right. Right.
I've had people say that out in public before. Hey, I believe in eternal security because Pastor Ben believes it. I had a gentleman tell me that one time. Don't say that. You know what you believe and why you believe it based upon what the Bible says. That's what you should always do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The word sleep in the Bible has reference to death. All right, that's one of the meanings for the word sleep. These are dead people. These are those that have already died in Christ. They were saved, and yet they died. And so the Lord's going to bring them back with him when he does come back. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That word prevent means to proceed. We're not going to go before them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, bless this time that we have tonight. I pray that you would guide us through the Scriptures. Help us, Lord, to see the truths from your word. Lord, again, speak to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is probably as I just said a moment ago, this is probably one of the most popular verses or passages of Scriptures that deal with this topic of the rapture. It doesn't tell us here that it's pre-tribulation. There's no verse that you can pull out and say, see, it says right there, it's a pre-tribulation rapture. There's no verse on it that I've been able to find. You don't have a verse that says it's this way or this way or that way. You can't just do chapter and verse. Sometimes that's what people want. Well, I want chapter and verse. I want book, chapter, and verse. Okay? Sometimes you can come up with book, chapter, and verse on certain things. Other things you can't. You just have to study it out and see how is the Bible leaning towards that. How is the Word of God mentioned towards these particular things. And you just have to compare Scripture with Scripture and study it out. And then once you've studied it out and you're confident about that, stick with it.
Amen.
Don't switch back and forth because you heard some preacher preach something different. I mean, just stay with what you believe and what you understood yourself. It'll make it a lot easier on your point. Now go to 1 Corinthians 15. Here's the other correlation passage that deals with this topic. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, I just read that and I don't see anything where it says it's pre-tribulation rapture. Did you? No, it's not there. Now, I believe the church and the Christian is not destined to go through the tribulation period.
That's right.
That's what I believe. I believe that the church and the Christian is not destined to go through the tribulation period. What is that tribulation period? We can go over to Daniel chapter 9. And there's a lot of verses on this. We don't have time to look at them all. Maybe afterwards you'll say, well, why didn't you use this verse? Or why didn't you? I'm going to give you some quick verses and we're going to move on. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9 is a great chapter on this, but just a couple chapters that or a couple verses that deals with the tribulation period. What is the tribulation period? How long is the tribulation period? That is the question that we're going to look at and answer here based upon Scripture. Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Remember that little phrase, thy people. And upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks. If you continue to read on and you know a little bit about biblical history, you'll know that 69 weeks have already been accomplished. There's 1 week left. 1 week of 7 days. Which we know also, according to Scripture, a week in the Bible is 7 years. Each day representing, each day of the week representing a year. So we know we have a 7 year period yet that has not come to pass. Even though some people have believed, but some people have taught that that has already happened already. It has not happened yet at all. I'll look at chapter 12 of Daniel. Turn over a couple pages and look at verse 1. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And again, tonight is a fast lesson on these things. Quick lesson. But I'm going to try to give it to you in a nutshell. Hopefully you'll understand it okay. And at the 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Remember the term thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This is dealing with the tribulation period. It's a time for thy people, as Daniel was writing this. And Michael, of course, is the angel that was designated to watch over the nation of Israel. And so this is a period of time, according to 12:1 and 9:24, it deals with the nation of Israel. Remember this one fact, that the tribulation period primarily is a time for Israel's reckoning. That's what the tribulation period is for.
Amen.
It's not for the Christian, and it's not for the church. It's for Israel and for the Jewish people. Like that or not, that's exactly what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
Look at Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah 30. He's just practicing to be a preacher, Liz, that's all. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, for he shall be saved out of it. A time of Jacob's trouble. What is Jacob's trouble? Well, Jacob, his name was changed to what?
Israel.
So it's a time for Jacob or for Israel's trouble. It's that 7 year tribulation period. And so that is the time period that we're looking at. Again, it's all future. And it is somewhere between now and then. I don't know when it is. We don't know when the Lord is coming back. We don't know when the rapture is going to take place. It could be tonight. I believe it's imminent. It could be next week. It could be, it may not be for another 500 years from now. We don't know. We're thinking the Lord's coming right away, and I'm hoping that the Lord's coming right away, but I don't know if the Lord's coming right away. I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He said this, and I quote, "The purpose of Bible prophecy is not for us to make a calendar, but for us to build character." You know, too many of us we're trying to build a calendar. We're trying to generate a calendar based upon what we think that we know what the Lord is doing. And we don't know what the Lord is doing exactly. It's God, He's God, and He makes the decisions as to when He's coming back. He's not bound by what man thinks. He's not bound by Harold Camping or some other guy that's setting, or Eustace, he's dead and gone now, but he set dates, and other people have set dates, and we've tried to set, you know, we often think, well, we think the Lord is coming back in the fall or in the spring or, you know, different things. We're always talking about that, and we think He's coming back this year, that next year, 2024. I've heard preachers think He's coming in 2024. Listen, God has His own calendar. He has His own schedule. Just leave it alone. Amen. When the Lord comes back, it's going to be a big surprise to everybody.
Amen.
The tribulation period, again, is for Israel. It's not for the Christian. Go over to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And again, we've not found the verse that says that the rapture is a pre-tribulation rapture yet. And as far as I can tell, we will not find a verse that deals with that. But there's lots of verses that we can look at and compare, and this is why I come to the conclusion that I come to. Revelation chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter." You know what the book of Revelation is dealing with. After chapter 4 and getting into chapter 5 and 6, that's the start of the tribulation period. In chapter 3 and verse 22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You should make a note in your Bible, but that is the last mention of the word church or churches until Revelation chapter 22. The word church is not found anywhere between this verse and chapter 22 and verse 16. So what does that tell you? Well, the church is not going through the tribulation. And the church is made up of saved, born-again children of God. We make up the church. And so we're going to be out of here. We're leaving around chapter 4 and verse 1 of Revelation. And we're not coming back until the end of the book, or towards the end of the book. God promises to keep the Christian from this terrible time. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verses 4 and 5. Remember, we just read from chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And here in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verses 4 and 5. "But ye brethren," remember, who's he talking to? Brethren, Christians, you and me, "are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Drop down to verse 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." The context there is the second coming of Jesus. He's not appointed us to wrath. I believe, listen, with all of my heart, the Lord is not going to allow us to go through the most terrible time on the planet since the beginning of time. I really believe He loves us too much. It's not that He doesn't love the rest of the world. He does. But we are His children. God the Father is our Father. Yeah. And He's not going to allow us to go through that awful, awful time. The tribulation period is, it's the worst time that the world has ever seen.
That's right.
We think maybe at the time of the flood was bad, and it was. Time of Lot, and it was bad. But this seven-year period is going to be one of the worst, I think, is the worst period ever.
Yeah.
Right. Let me just, a little parenthesis here. If you're not saved now, and you don't get saved, and then all of a sudden all of us Christians are gone, and you're still here on planet Earth because you didn't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe it's going to be very difficult for you to get saved during the tribulation period.
Yeah.
Can you get saved? I think you can get saved. I think many people will be saved during the tribulation period, but it's going to be extremely difficult. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes as part of my notes, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. So we'll get to that here in a minute. Another verse. Go back to Revelation chapter 3. I'll tell you, the time to get saved is now, during the age of grace. During this age, right now, we're in the age of grace. This is the time to get saved. Not during the tribulation period. It's very possible that you can believe a lie. You can be a part of the delusion that is going to take place when the Antichrist comes on the scene. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. When he comes on the scene, he's going to bring a strong delusion. Not only him, but God is going to bring a strong delusion.
Yeah.
And people are going to follow this Antichrist. They're going to literally follow him right into hell and into the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, it says this, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." The Bible says he will keep us from that hour of temptation. Again, getting back to the quote of Warren Wiersbe, who I really enjoy reading him and listening to him. He said this, "The purpose of Bible prophecy is not for us to make a calendar, but to build character." Paul emphasized this fact in both of his Thessalonian letters. Someone had deceived the believers into thinking they were already living in the day of the Lord or the tribulation period. The teaching probably first came through a prophetic utterance and then by a letter claiming to come from Paul himself. To calm their hearts and to stabilize their faith, Paul explained that they were not living in that day of the Lord, that day could not arrive till certain other events had taken place. Paul then stated for them that prophetic events that make up God's timetable. And so, when you read the both letters of the Thessalonians, you'll see that, and it sounds like they're confused. They're wondering, are they going through some horrible time? What's taking place? And Paul had to literally calm them down. You're not in the tribulation period. You're not going through the tribulation period, Paul was saying. J. Vernon McGee writes this, "There was circulating in the Thessalonian church a letter or report purported to have come from Paul. This false report claimed that Christ had already come. These people were being persecuted. They were suffering, and it was easy for them to believe that they had already entered into the great tribulation, but they had not. We ourselves could go through some tribulation period or some persecution ourselves in the next few years. We could.
That's right.
I told you this morning with the law passed this past week, the Respect for Marriage Act, which I call a Disrespect for Marriage Act, with no religious liberty attached to it whatsoever. They refused to put that language in there to protect churches and pastors. And so right now, as far as I know, we have no protection when it comes to this craziness of same-sex marriage, which I said this morning, there's no such thing.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Biblically.
Amen.
Biblically, there's marriage between a man and a woman, and that's it. God doesn't recognize anything else.
Right.
Sorry, but he doesn't. I won't apologize for it, but he does not recognize anything else in the Bible. Now, I know man comes up with laws and ideas and thoughts, and it's crazy, but I still have to go back to the Bible, and this is where I get my belief from. This is where I am directed from the Bible. This is my law right here. Now, yes, I have to obey man's law, but when it comes to either obeying God's law or man's law, I have to choose between one or the other. And I will choose God's law over man's law every time. And you should also. Enough of that. So again, all these things. Number one, we have the rapture appearing on the horizon. When is it going to be? No idea. And don't try to sit around and figure out when the rapture is going to take place. Because we don't know. As much as you can sit there and rack your little brain and try to figure it out, your little brain is no brain compared to God's brain. And you cannot come up with a date. As hard as you want to. I know, we all want the Lord to come back in our lifetime. We don't want to go through death, blah, 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 you know. But we still, as a Christian, we're in a win-win situation.
Amen.
If we do die, what's so bad about that?
Right.
We still go to heaven. We're going to go to heaven either way.
Right.
And I kind of take whichever comes first. Right? If death comes first, I'll take it. If the rapture comes first, I'll take that. I know that we talk, Kathy and I have talked, we both would like to go in the rapture together. I don't want to bury her. I don't know if she wants to bury me or not, but I don't think she does. Thank you. So number one is the rapture. Number two, the 7-year tribulation period. Already talked about it, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But it's the time of Jacob's trouble. We saw that in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Go over to Matthew chapter 24. Now, here is a problem. It's not a problem with God, and it's not a problem with a Bible believer. It's the problem of the Bible rester, W-R-E-S-T-E-R. Matthew 24 and Mark 13 are passages of Scripture that deals with the end times, second coming of Christ. And if you're not careful, when you read Matthew 24 and Mark 13, you'll confuse those passages of Scripture with the church event of the rapture.
Amen. Right.
That's where a lot of people are twisted on this whole, mid-trib and post-trib rapture. Is because they read these verses that deal with Israel and they think it's for the church. It's called replacement theology. They have taken all of the verses and passages that deals with Israel and they've thrown the church in there. That's wrong. That's not rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to understand that the Bible is written to Jews, written to Gentiles, written to Christians, the church of God. And we have to determine what the passage is dealing with. But here in Matthew 24, verse 21, Jesus is going through and some of the things that he is talking about does deal with the end times. And there's a lot of things here that we could say. It talks about the earthquakes, famines, and pestilences and all of that. And when we look at that, we look at the pestilence. We just came out of a pandemic. Now we've got the flu. Everybody seems to be getting sick. And we've got all kinds of other issues coming along. But in verse 21 of Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Jesus himself is telling us about this great tribulation. It's going to be a time that no man has ever seen anything like this before. And again, you want to get a good glimpse of it, you read the book of Revelation starting in chapter 6 and going to the end. You'll see all of the different things that are going to take place. And so number two is the 7-year tribulation period. That's coming up. Number three, the Antichrist is going to be revealed. When is the Antichrist going to be revealed? And who is the Antichrist going to be? Go over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who is the Antichrist? Is he alive right now? Where does he come from? Which country? Which nationality? Some people believe he might be homosexual. Because he has no desire for women. It doesn't mean that he's a homosexual if he just doesn't have a desire for women. The 144,000 Jews that God uses during the tribulation period to preach the gospel, they have no desire for women either. You're not going to call them homosexual. They're out preaching God's word. He may have had a desire for women at one time, and then now he doesn't anymore. All he wants is complete power. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. Just be careful. You know, with the statements that we make, we just got to be careful what we say. And how we say it. But here's what the Bible does tell us a little bit about the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul said this, these words, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Remember what J. Vernon McGee and Wiersbe just wrote? Somebody was writing a letter kind of putting Paul's name to it saying, hey, they're already in the tribulation period. Paul is correcting them on it. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away, And that man of sin be revealed. Man of sin, that is the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in a temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's going to take place in the middle of the tribulation period, by the way. The Antichrist is going to walk into the temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to claim to be God. And he's going to literally tell the world, you have to worship me. I am God. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. Remember ye not that when I was with you, yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Now what does that word, what does that phrase letting mean? That word means to hinder. Right now, the Holy Spirit, working through the church, is hindering the working of the wicked.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
When the church and when every Christian is taken out of here, can you imagine what is going to take place after that? Not a godly person on the face of the planet after the rapture. That's what that's talking about. Right now the Holy Spirit is that word means to hold down. The word let means to hold down, or with kind of like a restraining order. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to do, is to restrain and keep the forces of evil at bay. And he does that through the preaching of God's Word. He does that through preachers. He does that through you and I as we witness and as we live for God, as we live, attempt to live holy lives. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Look at this. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How dangerous it will be if you're not saved now, the rapture happens, and every Christian is gone, and then you're facing the worst time period in the history of man. When will the Antichrist... First of all, who is the Antichrist, folks? I have no clue. And as I said this morning, I don't care. You don't care who the Antichrist is? No. Because as far as I know, as far as I can tell, I'm not going to be here. The revealing of the Antichrist, I believe, I talked to a preacher not long ago, he thinks the Antichrist may be revealed prior to the rapture, and we might know who it is. That's a possibility. I don't know. I personally don't think so. I think we're going to be gone, and then, as Paul wrote those words and those verses, then the Antichrist is going to be revealed afterwards. Sometime during the early, maybe early part of the tribulation period, all of a sudden this man comes on the scene and he's got to explain away the millions and millions of people that have just disappeared, and the empty churches, and those crazy Bible believers are finally gone. He's got to figure out, how's he going to explain that? Well, who knows how he's going to do it. He might say, finally, you know, the aliens came and took them all away. With that, very possible. We have UFO sightings all the time, and he could use something like that to explain it. I don't know what he's going to do. But he has to come on the scene. He's got to figure out what to say to the world to calm the world down.
Yep.
And get everybody to follow him.
Right.
And it's like, follow me. I'm your leader. I'm the guy that's going to save all of you. So I don't know who the Antichrist is. I can't tell you who it is. I'm not even going to mention a name. I've heard all kinds of names down through the years of who the Antichrist might be. I don't know. And don't you sit there trying to figure out who the Antichrist is either. Because you don't know.
Right.
You might have your opinions. That's fine. We all got them. And when he is going to be revealed, I think sometime early in the tribulation period after we are gone. But I don't know. I don't know exactly how that's going to work out. I'm just going to be honest with you. Number four, the fourth thing, and these are, I try to put these in somewhat of an order as I see them progressing through from the rapture and following. But Number four, I wrote this down, a peace treaty is going to be signed with Israel. Go back to Daniel chapter 9, we'll look at verse 27, Daniel 9, 27. There's going to be a peace treaty signed with Israel. It's interesting, there have been several peace treaties signed in the last several years. I remember when Clinton was around as president, there was a peace treaty signed with Yasser Arafat and who was the prime minister of Israel at the time?
Sharon.
Could have been Ariel Sharon. May have been the prime minister at the time, but they were there in the Rose Garden, all shaking hands and signing peace treaties. And of course, the paper that these peace treaties were signed did nothing for peace in the Middle East.
Okay.
The person that got more done for Israel was Donald Trump when he was president. The Abrahamic Accord is what he called it. And he made sure that Jerusalem, headquarters, was taken from Tel Aviv and put into Jerusalem, which he had promised he was going to do. President Trump was the most friendly president ever to the nation of Israel. A lot of them were fairly good to Israel. He was the most friendly to Israel of all.
Amen.
But anyway, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It says in Daniel 9, 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What in the world is that saying? Simply stated, is he is going to break his covenant with Israel in the middle of the tribulation period. In the midst, it says right there, in the midst of the week. In the week, in the midst of the week is the 7-year period. He's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And so he is going to walk into the temple there in Jerusalem, the Antichrist is, and he's going to declare to be God. And so that's when he breaks the treaty, peace treaty with Israel. And the worst chaos of the world that has ever been seen is going to take place starting then. It may seem somewhat peaceful up to this point in the tribulation period, because he's got to explain a lot and he's got to bring peace to the world. And he will do that. He will bring peace, as much peace as he can. It's a false peace.
Yeah.
It's not a godly peace. It's a false peace.
Right.
And then he will break that peace treaty and then... It is horrible after that. And that's what I wrote down, number six. Severe persecution takes place. Severe persecution. Many Jews and Christians are going to be killed during the latter half of the tribulation period. Go to Revelation chapter 13. We have the mark of the beast. You've heard of the mark of the beast? Big question tonight is, what is the mark of the beast? Do we know what the mark of the beast is? Not really. I don't know what the mark of the beast is. People get all excited today if they see a license plate that says 666. And, the mark of the beast. Oh, no. That's not the mark of the beast. It's numbers on a license plate.
Right.
Now, if I was handed a license plate with 666, I probably would turn it back and say, give me the next set, please.
Yeah.
I want 667. I just don't want to drive around with... That's me. I mean, that's, maybe you... I don't care. I'll drive around with 666. Maybe you would. I don't know. But I don't think I would.
Right.
Just because it would bother me probably for the rest of my life. But that's just me. There's been... And please don't take me wrong on this, but early on in the pandemic, when the vaccination came out, people were saying, that's the mark of the beast. That wasn't the mark of the beast. Getting a vaccine is not the mark of the beast. How many had the vaccine? That's all right, don't be afraid. You got the mark of the beast. No, you didn't get the mark of the beast. You got a vaccine. All right, we can agree or disagree on the vaccine and whatever. I'll never get into that and discuss that to the point where we didn't get the vaccine. And we've been fine. Some of you needed a vaccine for work. I don't agree with that. We knew nurses that lost their job because they refused to take the vaccination at the time, and they lost their job. And then after a while, all of a sudden, they're hiring back all these nurses because they didn't have enough nurses to. But the vaccine was not the mark of the beast.
Right.
Here's the mark of the beast. Let's read about it here in Revelation chapter 13. In verse 15 it says, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all," look at verse 16, "both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the number of the beast," I'm sorry, "the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Herein is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. During this period of time, you won't be able to eat, you won't be able to buy food, you won't be able to buy gas, you won't be able to do anything unless you have the mark of the beast. You'll have to either get something on your hand or in your forehead. Those are the two places that the Bible says where this mark will be implanted or whatever. There's two possibilities of what the mark of the beast is. And I don't know which one is going to be used during that period of time. Nobody knows. But when you do a study on that little word mark, M-A-R-K, when you look up the definition of the word mark, it means a scratch or etching. It's a graven mark, something sharpened to a point. Think now. There's a craze in this world with tattoos. Could the mark of the beast be a tattoo? Yes. Very possible it could be a tattoo. That they'll force you to have on your hand, right hand, or a tattoo on your forehead. Very possible. And I think with the craziness of people today, even Christians getting tattoos, and listen, I preached a message a while ago, I'm against tattooing.
Amen.
I'm against it. You've had a tattoo, that's fine. It's, you know, just don't get another one, please. Don't follow, you know, the world off there. And, oh, I need another. There are people today that's all they do is they just got to get another tattoo. Spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars on these tattoos. You're gonna shrivel up and wrinkle someday. Your tattoos are gonna look awfully ugly.
Yeah. Right.
You are gonna look awful ugly someday with all these tattoos all over your body. Oh my goodness! I have never, ever, ever had a tattoo in my life. Never. If you've had one, well, God can forgive you for that. But stop wanting to get another one. You don't need a tattoo. It's a crazy, follow the world and do what the world does. We have a tattoo place in Geneva called Amazing Grace Tattoo Parlor. Amazing Grace. I'd like to go up there and I'd like to stand there and I'd like to sing the song Amazing Grace in the tattoo parlor. And say, that's really Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy. Amazing Grace. Where do they get these ideas? I'll tell you what. To draw Christians in.
Right.
Oh, Amazing Grace. That must be a Christian tattoo parlor. Oh, let's all go up and get Seneca Bible Baptist, you know, on us. Sure. Let's just do that. Yeah. Pastor Fenton tattooed on your arm, right? Take my picture and have that put on your arm. Right?
Forehead.
I know, the Bible. King James. KJV. On our chest, huh? Isn't that good? We can do that? No, that's foolishness. It's foolish. But people think that way today. Well, I get a Christian tattoo. I get a cross somewhere. I'm going to get a cross tattooed on it. And all of a sudden, your cross or your little Bible or whatever is now Christian. No, you're just a fool. Sorry, that's me. I'm against it. I'm against tattooing. Because I think possibly the mark of the beast is a tattoo. The other thing that we see since 1983, this gentleman by the name of Charles Walton invented an RFID chip. RFID, radio frequency identification. They have the technology right now to put implants in under your skin that will have all of your information in it. Your name, your social security number, your driver's license, all of your medical history, it's available and it is being used in some places now. Very possible. It's about the size of a grain of rice. And in that thing has, they say that it's got all the information they need. All you got to do is walk up to a scanner. Everything today is scanned.
Yep.
Everything. You go to a store, it's a scan. You can go up to a gas station and scan your debit card and get used. Everything is scanned now. All you need is one of those little chips right there. They say, in order, when you put it underneath the skin and the temperature of your body, actually keeps the charge of the little tiny battery that's inside of the thing.
Yeah.
And they put it in the forehead, and you won't even see it's there.
Yeah.
And you're all set to go. All you got to do is walk into a store, beep, you can get all the food or the gas and everything you need. That's what the Bible says is going to take place during the tribulation period. Now, here's what I was saying a little while ago, how difficult it's going to be to survive during this time period. Because if you don't have that mark, whatever it is, tattoo or RFID card or RFID chip, you're not going to be able to get food. You're not going to be able to live the way that you've been living.
Right.
It's going to be extremely dangerous to even survive. You probably won't survive during that time.
Yeah.
And you know what you're going to want to do? You're going to want to get the mark of the beast. Because just so you can survive. If you got a little child during that time, or you got an elderly person that is dying of hunger, you'll do anything to try to help that person survive during that time period. You'll do anything for yourself to survive. And you will want to go and get the mark of the beast just so you can survive during that time period. Now, once you receive the mark of the beast, you're done. You say, well, can't I get saved and have the mark of the beast? No. Look at chapter 14. Chapter 14. Look at verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You receive the mark of the beast, you're done. You're done forever. You can't receive the mark and go out and get some food and go get your groceries and feed yourself and then say, God, I'm sorry, I want to be saved now. It won't happen. Once you receive the mark of the beast, you are doomed forever. You will not be able to go to heaven when you die. You will end up in the lake of fire. You see what I'm saying? How difficult it's going to be during that time period?
Amen.
Right now, you get saved. You don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
You won't have to try to survive during that awful period
Amen.
Of time.
Amen.
Remember what the Bible said there. He causeth all, both verses of chapter 13, verse 16. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Everybody's going to have to receive that mark in order to survive. You need to get saved now if you're not saved. Because what you're going to be going through during that time period is beyond what we can even fathom, what we can even understand. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad that I've trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I don't have to worry about these things. But again, whatever the mark of the beast is, I don't know what that is. But it's not going to be good if you receive the mark of the beast. You will suffer for all eternity in a lake of fire. No hope. There's no grace. No grace. Once you receive the mark, there's no grace. You can't reverse the process of what you just did. And like I said, it's going to be difficult during that time period. People are going to want it just so they can survive. Number 7 is the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus Christ returns from heaven with all of his saints and establishes his kingdom. We see that in Revelation chapter 19, 20, 21, 22. I'm out of time. Number 8 is the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. That's when he reigns for 1,000 years here upon the earth. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Write this verse, this passage down, Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. A lot of Isaiah deals with the millennial reign of Christ. A lot of Isaiah. When you read through the book of Isaiah, you'll see passages of Scripture that deal with that. And Isaiah 11, 1 through 9 is one of the great passages that shows what it's going to be like during that time period. We'll be able to sit down, the Bible says we can lay down with lions and bears, and I'll even like snakes during that time period. I might even have a pet snake during that. No, I don't think so. But children will be able to play on that cockatrice den hole, and the snake's not going to bite anybody. The bears and the tigers and the lions, and they're not going to eat people. They're not going to eat one another. They're going to be eating grass like oxen, the Bible says. It's an amazing period of time. God takes and removes the curse from the earth for 1,000 years. It'll be a wonderful, wonderful time. And so we all have a future, folks. We all have a future. What is your future like? My future is a very good future. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven when I die.
Amen.
And if you're saved, you have a great future. Great future. Stop sitting around complaining and grumbling and rivaling and mumbling about everything. Stop worrying about everything. We have nothing to worry about as a Christian. Nothing, 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 nothing. We learned that in Sunday school today. Just pray about everything. You have nothing to be worried about. You're not saved? I don't know what else to tell you. But the gospel is for you. You need to be saved. Don't say, I'll take my chances during the tribulation period. I'm telling you, you probably won't make it through. I don't know. I'm just saying you probably won't make it through. And if you do, it'll be very difficult. You'll be going through that time period saying, why didn't I listen to Pastor Fenn? Why didn't I listen to the gospel? Why didn't I believe the Bible when I had that opportunity? Get saved now. Right now. Get saved now. This is your opportunity. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. What if the Lord came back tonight? And the tribulation started tomorrow. Or what if next week? You say, I'll wait and get saved next week. I'll come to church next week and get saved. What if the Lord came between now and next Sunday? Tribulation starts shortly thereafter when the Lord comes. Now is the time to be prepared. Father, thank you for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the warnings that we have in Scripture. Lord, we do pray right now that there's somebody, anybody here, or listening even online, Lord, or even in the future, with the technology today, these different messages will be recorded and maybe played in the future sometime, even maybe during the tribulation period. I don't know. But Lord, I do pray that people would realize the importance of being saved now before it's too late. Lord, just speak to hearts. You know what we all need. Lord, I am so grateful and thankful that we save people now. We're going to miss this awful, awful time period. Thank you, Lord, for us. Thank you for loving us so much that you're going to take us to heaven. Lord, I just praise you and thank you tonight for that. Lord, bless the baptism. And Lord, just continue to work and move in our lives and hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.